Today is the last day of our July-August 7-day Sesshin. It's the 5th of August 2017. And we're going to take up another story from the Hidden Lamp, stories of from 25 centuries of awakened women, edited by Florence Kaplow and Susan Moon. And we're going to stick with the Pang family. This story is called Ling Zhao's Shining Grasses. Layman Pang was sitting in his thatched cottage one day studying the sutras. "Difficult, difficult, difficult," he suddenly exclaimed, like trying to store 10 bushels of sesame seed in the top of a tree. "Easy, easy, easy," his wife, Layman Pang, answered. "It's like touching your feet to the ground when you get out of bed." "Neither difficult nor easy," said their daughter Ling Zhao. "It's like the teachings of the ancestors shining on the 100 grass tips." So just a little bit more background information on our three characters here. Layman Pang, his dates are 740 to 808. And he had his first major breakthrough under Shi To Si Chan, that Sekito in the Japanized version. And just a couple of stories. about Layman Pang's training. And in China, he's often referred to as Pang Yun, which just means Layman Pang. So he started to train under Shi To Si Chan in 785 when he was 45. He asked his teacher, "Who is the one who is not a companion to the 10,000 dharmas? Who is the one who is not a companion to the 10,000 dharmas?" And Shi To quickly covered Pang Yun's mouth with his hand. And at this, Pang Yun suddenly had a realization. One day, Shi To asked Pang Yun, "What have you been doing each day since we last saw each other?" Pang Yun said, "If you ask about daily affairs, then nothing can be said." And then he recited a famous verse, where especially famous is the last two lines. And Andy Ferguson in Zen's Chinese Heritage, he translates the last two lines as, "How miraculous and wondrous, hauling water and carrying firewood." We can turn to an old text, the Golden Age of Zen, for the full poem. And and maybe a more felicitous translation as well. This is the full poem that he presented to his teacher. "In my daily life, there are no other chores than those that happen to fall into my hands. Nothing I choose, nothing reject. Nowhere is there a do, nowhere a slip. I have no other emblems of my glory than the mountains and hills without a spot of dust. My magical power and spiritual exercise consist in carrying water and gathering firewood." This is a great verse for us to take back into our lives with us as we depart Sesshin. To really be able to just do what's in front of us. Do what needs to be done. To pay bills. To wash dishes. To play with our grandchildren. Write a letter. Make a phone call. I have no other emblems of my glory than the mountains and hills without a spot of dust. No need for titles, no need for recognition. But what extraordinary adornments, the mountains and hills, fields and the forests, sky and the clouds. Later on, Layman Pang met his second teacher, the great Ma Tzu, and had a deeper awakening. And interestingly, he asked him the same question that he had asked Master Shi To. So obviously he was not satisfied with his understanding. So he asked Ma Tzu, who is the one who is not a companion to the 10,000 dharmas? And Ma Tzu said, when you swallow all the water in the West River in one gulp, then I'll tell you. And when Layman Pang heard this, he fully realized the mystery, as Andy Ferguson puts it. And these stories come from the lamp records of the masters. And then after that, he stayed with Ma Tzu for another 2 years. Another famous exchange which appears in the Hekigan Roku, number 42. Layman Pang's beautiful snowflakes. When Layman Pang took leave of Yakusan, and that's Yaoshan in the Chinese, the latter, in other words, Yakusan, asked 10 Zen students to escort him to the temple gate to bid him farewell. The layman, pointing to the falling snowflakes, said, "Beautiful snowflakes, they fall nowhere." Then one of the Zen students, named Zenkaku, said, "Then where do they fall?" The layman slapped him, and Zenkaku said, "Even a layman shouldn't be so rude." And the layman said, "Though you call yourself a Zen student, old Yama, that is the Lord of the Dead, won't let go of you." Zenkaku said, What about you? And again the layman slapped him and said, "You look, but you are blind. You speak, but you are mute." And then Setcho adds a comment, "When Pang first spoke, I would have made a snowball and hit him with it." We don't have much more information about Lay Woman Pang than we gave yesterday. But as we saw, she was really she comes across as a very down-to-earth, no-nonsense person, but also one who can freely and creatively express the Buddha Dharma. There is a little bit more on Ling Zhao, the third person in the story, and there's a beautiful story about her which we'll just look briefly at, called Ling Zhao's Helping. One day, Layman Pang and his daughter Ling Zhao were out selling bamboo baskets. Coming down off a bridge, the layman stumbled and fell. When Ling Zhao saw this, she ran to her father's side and threw herself to the ground. "What are you doing?" cried the layman. "I saw you fall, so I'm helping," replied Ling Zhao. "Luckily, no one was looking," remarked the layman. The commentary on this story in Hidden Land is by Joan Sutherland, who's a Zen teacher, Dharma heir, Dharma grand heir of Robert Aitken. Sanctioned to teach by John Tarrant, and she's also an author and translator. She lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But she really sums up the story very succinctly. Just read a little bit of her commentary here. Ling Zhao's action obliterates the idea that there is a helper and a helped. She's referring to her throwing herself down next to her father. Compassion isn't a commodity we deliver, but a commitment. According to Chan, to help liberate the intimacy already inherent in any situation. What is most intimate? The koan suggests that we ask. So that's really what we all say, this thread running through all the koans is, what is most intimate? Usually the most intimate response to another's difficulty begins with the willingness not to flee. Fleeing can take the form of abandoning the situation, but can also mean escaping into helping, into a whole constellation of ideas about what ought to happen. Intimacy is being willing to stay and accompany and listen, to be vulnerable and surprised and flexible. It is a willingness to fall with someone else and see what becomes possible when we do. In other words, to really get alongside the person who's suffering. We often want to move very quickly to fixing, because it's safer. And that goes also for just our the way in which we work with our own suffering. We go quickly to wanting to get rid of it, instead of being curious, staying with it, staying alongside it. Layman Pang's final remark, this is where he says, luckily no one was looking, does not mean that he's worried about some third person coming along and judging the event. And it is kind of odd, Ling Zhao throwing herself down, so somebody might judge it as being a bit crazy. But it's pointing to something much deeper. She says, the one who fortunately isn't looking is ourselves. That is, our inner tendency to monitor and pass judgment, distancing us from our interactions even as they're happening. How free it is when we aren't keeping score. How potentially generous a life lived with no one looking. So Layman Pang wasn't embarrassed when he fell down. He didn't think, oh, I'm an enlightened layman, I shouldn't fall down. if he thought anything, it could have been, oh, this body pulled earthward. How marvelous. Ouch. Sutherland goes on, at another level, Ling Zhao's gesture suggests that we are all falling together, lifetime after lifetime, through the universe. Right now, we're falling through this world, which holds out an invitation to us. Come see what life is like here. We find it's made of flame and water, wind and earth, sorrow and beauty, love and fear, light and dark and everything in between. As we fall, if we pick and choose, instead of accepting all of life as it offers itself, we are in some way refusing the invitation. I'll just read that sentence again. As we fall, if we pick and choose, instead of accepting all of life as it offers itself, we're in some way refusing the invitation. If we say to life in this world, I'll take your sunsets but leave your diseases, we're being stingy in a way that hurts ourselves most of all. When we fall, to be just one with our falling. When Ling Zhao throws herself down, her kindness is clear and unhesitating, completely without self-concern. It's also funny. Those are the qualities of her enlightenment. This is what it looks like when all the energy bound up in the small story we're constantly telling ourselves in all our reactions and opinions and judgments has been liberated into awakening. It's a free place. And Ling Zhao lived there to the end. And then she lived it also in her dying, as we saw yesterday. Now just back to our story, main story. Ling Zhao's shining grasses. Layman Pang was sitting in his thatched cottage one day studying the sutras. Difficult, 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 he suddenly exclaimed, like trying to store 10 bushels of sesame seed in the top of a tree. Easy, 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 his wife, Laywoman Pang, answered. It's like touching your feet to the ground when you get out of bed. Neither difficult nor easy, said their daughter Ling Zhao. It's like the teachings of the ancestors shining on the 100 grass tips. Difficult, difficult, difficult. I doubt there's one person in this room who hasn't felt this at times in Sesshin. But not just in Sesshin, and not just reading the sutras. This is not what Layman Pang is talking about. Just life itself. Being a human, being alive, isn't easy. We suffer. We come to practice because we suffer. And then, lo and behold, as we mentioned the other day, the very things that brought us here are what we have to deal with. We thought it was about leaving these things behind, but they come with us. They're part of the deal. We have to face ourselves, and it's the last thing most of us want to do. In my first 7-day session, it was a staggering experience to see the enormity of the task ahead, the strength of the ego. It was like seeing ahead of me the labours of Hercules, the stables that needed to be cleaned out of all this shit. But there was no turning back, because once you've seen the possibility of awakening, there is no going back. One just has to pick up that shovel and start mucking out. Layman Pang uses this image of trying to store 10 bushels of sesame seed in the top of a tree. This appears both pretty much impossible and cumbersome. You can imagine these heavy baskets trying to climb up to the top of the tree with them and somehow balance them up there, and then the baskets falling down and the seeds spilling everywhere. A little bit like the myth in Greek mythology, the myth of Sisyphus, who's rolling this huge boulder uphill, and he gets almost to the top and hasn't got the energy to quite get it over the top edge of this steep slope, and the boulder runs all the way down to the bottom of the hill, and he has to go. It's a torment in the Greek hell. And again, he pushes it up the hill. Practice can certainly feel like that. Actually, there's a Japanese saying which, gets closer to it, and is more realistic, more close to what actually is like. 7 times down, 8 times up. Such is life. So in that version, there's a little optimism. Keep on falling down and picking ourselves up, falling down and picking ourselves up. Being a human, having a body and a mind, is complicated. It's fraught, and that's not to mention just how the world is so full of intractable suffering. Cruelty, exploitation, intractable types of conflict. And now this great spiritual challenge that we're facing as human beings of climate change. We're really at a turning point if we don't really change now. The results are going to be disastrous. It's like we're just teetering on the edge. And the signs aren't good. Many of the signs are not good. But then there's also more awareness. When I was coming here, I was on United Airlines. They have a magazine that you can read. It's in the pocket in front of your seat, called Hemispheres. And it had an article, an interview of Al Gore by Bill McKibben. And I mean, that such an interview exists is no surprise, but that it was in the in-flight magazine of United Airlines suggests that this stuff, this concern, is coming into wider awareness. Of course, there are also fields, forces on the other side, which are pretty discouraging. But it's by no means decided. how it's going to unfold. It can be helpful to remember that even the Buddha had to deal with all kinds of difficulties. There was at times dissent and discord in the Sangha, jealousy, kind of bane of the Buddha's existence was his cousin Devadatta, who was extremely jealous of the position that he had, and tried to slander him at times, split the Sangha. He plotted and organized attempts on the Buddha's life. And then, of course, sickness and death. Even the Buddha had to endure these. Being a body-mind is hard. Nothing short of nirvana can help with that. Jeremy Bentham described life as being nasty, brutish, and short. If this were the only side of the truth, then it would really, life wouldn't be worth living. Well, you could argue that. But there is another side, and this is what laywoman Pan presents. Easy, 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 she says. It's like touching your feet to the ground when you get out of bed. Can't be missed. Right there. How extraordinary even to have ground under our feet. A little mind exercise that the cosmologist I mentioned the other day, Brian Swim, suggests is to lie on the grass at night and look down into the stars. If it weren't for the loving embrace of this earth of ours, what we usually call gravity, we would just fly off into space. We're held by this earth. We are this earth. Laywoman Pan knows this to the core of her being. She sees it. It's not an idea she has, but something she lives out of. She knows that life can be simple. She is herself simple. She knows that we can access a reality that is pure and clear and peaceful. We don't have to have wild mystical experiences. Really just have to pay attention. Then Ling Zhao comes in to top the whole thing off. A very, very un-Confucian response. She's not going to just kowtow to her parents, but say no, not difficult, not easy. Actually, she's a fine daughter to her two parents in that she brings the two sides together. He kind of integrates these two views of difficult, 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 and easy, easy, easy. And they are both views of things. She says, neither difficult nor easy. It's like the teachings of the ancestors shining on the 100 grass tips. Now, Ling Zhao probably spent quite a bit of time out in the fields, on the plains of China, gathering material for the baskets that they made. So she would have often seen the grasses waving in the wind. Shifting and moving like wheat fields. A beautiful image for the emptiness of form, never still, constantly shifting and changing, and it's the tips of the grass that move the most. In Zen literature, grass is often not exactly pejorative, but it's refers to what we attach to, phenomena. There's a line in the commentary to the case one of the Mu Mongkan, Joshu's Mu, where Mumon says, if you do not pass the barrier of the ancestors, if you do not cut off the mind road, then you are a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses. And of course, the bushes and grasses aren't very solid themselves, and the ghost is even less solid. So it's an image of instability, of insubstantiality. So we can read all of this right there in Ling Zhao's statement. It's like the teachings of the ancestors shining on the 100 grass tips. It really does integrate the two sides that her parents have expressed. She's saying right in the myriad forms of our lives, right there in the complications, in our difficulties, difficult people, painful psychological stuff that comes up. Right there, on the tips of the 100 grass tips, there's the Dharma. There, teachings of the ancestors, suffering and the way out of suffering. Right where things are difficult. Not difficult, not easy. I'd like to finish with going back to Shodo Harada Roshi, the book we were reading a little bit from right at the beginning of our session. And this is really hopefully to take us beyond the session, back to our lives, our everyday lives. He says, at the entrance of a Zen temple, we often see the words Kyaka Shoko, watch your step. What these words are telling us is to be aware of everything we do, to take off our footwear attentively and in such a way that later no one has to rearrange it correctly for us. We put our shoes at the side of the entranceway, not in the middle, so that other people may more easily slip out of their shoes. In this way, even to the way in which we take off our shoes, continual awareness is necessary. The words Kyaka Shoko do not, of course, apply only to our feet and shoes. They remind us to remain attentive in our entire way of living. If we keep our room in order, then our home is kept in order. And next, our neighbourhood is kept in order. And next, society is put in order. In this way, step by step, the nation, the natural environment, and finally the whole planet are put in order. The entire universe then comes into order. Thus, when we regulate our own mind, the circle extends to include the whole planet and then the entire universe. To align your own mind, to put it in order, is to correct and to put society in order. When Master Joshu said, when you've finished your gruel, be sure to wash your bowls, he was showing us how the process of creating order is not something special or unusual. It is living a simple and natural life in a simple and natural way. If nothing special has to be done in order to produce, there is nothing special that has to be done in order to produce or maintain it. In your everyday life, if your way of being is in order and your mind's creative and inventive energies are full and consistent, then everything around you will spontaneously and naturally come into order as well. This is living Zazen, useful throughout our lives. We'll stop here and recite the four vows. All beings without number, I vow to liberate. Endless fine passions I vow to uproot. Dharma gates beyond measure, I vow to penetrate the great way of Buddha. I vow to attain all beings without number. I vow to liberate endless blind passions. I vow to uproot Dharma gates beyond measure. I vow to penetrate the great way of Buddha. I vow to attain all beings without number. I vow to liberate endless blind passions. I vow to uproot Dharma gates beyond measure. I vow to penetrate the great way of Buddha. I vow.